The following is an exclusive presentation of Ravens Productions.
Quick toss, and it's intercepted at the 30-yard line. Pitch goes to Forsett, tries to get around the left edge, and he wheeled. He's to the 5. He'll walk in for the touchdown. He's to the 20, and he's going to go. Steve Smith Sr. with a touchdown.
Welcome into Ravens Unscripted, brought to you by Care First Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's week 9 of the NFL season, and for the Ravens, that means a week off and a few more days to enjoy that win over the San Diego Chargers, their first win since week 4 of the season. But even with no game, there's plenty to talk about here on Unscripted, and that's the plan for the next 30 minutes. And joining me, as always, Ryan Mink and Garrett Downing. And this week, our special guest, Steve Davis of 105.7 The Fan. And guys, I think we have to start with the biggest storyline surrounding this team after that win. Came at a high cost. They lose Steve Smith Sr. with that torn Achilles for the remainder of the season. It's to be his last season, but now there's some question to whether or not he's going to want to go out like that. Steve, I'll start with you. Do you think he's going to retire?
I know a lot of people think that he won't. I don't know what go out like that means. I get go out like that if you drop a ball that costs your team a game, if you had this terrible season, if you got injured in training camp and you wanted one more year and you never got it. For me, all he's done is enhanced his reputation as a gladiator. And if his reasoning was, you know what, family, I got kids, my son's going to be a senior in high school, I want to watch him play soccer, then coming back then spoils that whole thing. I don't think, if that's why he wanted to retire, I hope he doesn't get talked out of it for that, if it's because he wants to be with his family. Because I think he was amazing this year and really, really tough, and for me, proved to be something special.
And I think the point here, Ryan, too, is that to come back, it's not like you come back for one game and it's like, all right, Steve, thanks, we appreciate it. You get to go out on your terms. It's a whole offseason and another 16 games.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't think that Steve Smith really wanted to retire. I think that his wife primarily wanted him to retire and his kids wanted him to retire, so he was doing that for them. I don't think he was doing it for himself, you know, and I think that his family is going to feel so bad for him not to have that season that he envisioned in his final year, that they'll almost give the gift back, you know, and say, here you go. I mean, even this season, with the kind of year he was having.
You should write a book on that, because if I could figure out a way to make my kids feel guilty and get what I want to know what that is.
Exactly. Well, Steve Smith, you know, he could write a book about a lot of things. But, I think that he is a guy who already during the season was starting to talk back that retirement. You know, you started to feel it.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll take it one game at a time.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, and kind of what your point is. There's no guarantee. And what you were saying, too, Evan, he could come back next year. There's no guarantee he's going to play 16 games and be healthy the entire time. He knows that as well as anybody. But I just have a feeling, I just have a sense that he doesn't want his last play on the football field to be him getting carried off the field with a towel over his head. That was just painful. It was painful. It was painful physically to see, and it was painful to see mentally just to know what he was going through at that point in the locker room after the game. I think that he's going to do everything he can to come back, but we're going to be talking about this, honestly, for like 6 months, because he may want to come back now, but it depends how that foot feels, how that Achilles feels once it gets closer to training camp next year.
My concern for him were the football gods sending him a little bit of a message. I mean, he's got 4 microfractures in
right.
his back.
Yeah.
He hurt his knee right before this. Then he's got this. He's getting up there. What's next? Is he going to be able to have a clean season?
It's very true.
Well, the fans, they spoke a little preview of Ravens Pulse, and they feel that 70% at least feel that he will come back. I think that's a bit of wishful thinking from the fans. But continuing with this topic, and two guys that were lost for the season with an Achilles, Terrell Suggs and Steve Smith Sr., fiery leaders on this team. Do the Ravens have anybody that can replace that, Steve?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're unique personalities.
Yeah.
To be a leader, you have to be a great player or a really good player. I think it starts with that. I think it's hard to be a leader if you're not something special on the field. And I don't think they really have that right now. They don't have any difference makers. Marshall Yonda is a great player, but he would have had the chance to establish himself as a leader already. I don't see that. I don't see that guy. C.J. Mosley, he doesn't have that personality, but his play's taken a step back this year, so I don't know that he's that guy. Now, look, Ray, he put it on Joe in that pregame speech, but Joe's not that fiery leader.
And, Ryan, I think you know this, too. It's really bad when somebody fakes it, when it's out of character.
Guys,
totally. Pick up on
that. Yeah, you can't do that. And I agree that Marshall Yonda, I look at Marshall Yonda and Chris Canty as probably the two most vocal guys left on this team right now. But neither of those guys are – person on game day that takes the whole team around him and brings it to that level nearly that Suggs or Steve Smith did. And I just think, especially when you see Ray in the locker room, there's a difference when you see somebody that's that passionate, outwardly passionate. I think that there's a difference when you're looking on and seeing that it makes you have to play that passionately.
What sticks out to me about Steve that was different than Suggs, that was different than Ray, I never really saw Steve gather everybody around him and then step into the huddle and try to give up that pregame pump-up speech. But what I would see is he would play with so much fire and so much emotion that he would make a play down the sidelines, he would spin the ball, look over to the sidelines, and everybody would be fired up. That would make everybody want to elevate their level of play. It wasn't so much what he said, but it was what he did. And they need to find that in somebody because you need to have that. You can't just keep losing leaders at the pace that the Ravens have over the last couple years and expect that it's not going to have any kind of an impact.
And sorry, nobody notices Marshall Yanda pancaking guy on the offensive line except for his offensive linemen around him.
Right. It's true. It's true.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with his teams in terms of that leadership position. But going back to Sunday, guys, I think the things that happened in that game, not just Steve Smith Sr. going down, but the challenges this team faced, the fact they were able to rise above it and get a win, what do you think it means for this team going forward this season? We know the playoffs are, you know, not really in the picture at all, but in terms of the positivity they could have down the stretch.
Well, yeah, I think that it's a good sign that this team will be in a lot more close games this year. You know, that they will fight every single game to the end and be in just about every game. Now, the reason that they're not going to blow anybody out or have any comfortable wins this year is because I think they have too many injuries. They just don't have enough talent on the field. But it's a good sign that they'll be close in a lot of games, and I think it's a good building block for the future. Some of these younger guys, I mean, they have a young roster right now. I think that it makes them more mentally tough for next year and the years to come.
I don't think motivation's an issue. I know we talked about that previously. Is motivation going to be an issue? What I've seen so far this year and what I really saw last week is that motivation is not going to be a problem. I think John Harbaugh's team is always going to be ready to play. They're not going to cash it in. You've seen that at some points over the court. Other teams, I mean, look at the Lions. They just got blown out last week in London. I don't think you're ever going to see that from a John Harbaugh team, and I think that's a good sign. These guys, they believe they could get hot. Talking to players in the locker room this week, like they really believe that they could go in 2, 3, 4, and then, you know, who knows what happens from there. Yeah.
I think it can become a little cliche when we talk about, hey, these guys fought till the end and they play hard. I was talking to Buck Showalter last weekend about this, and he said, well, isn't that what you're paid to do and supposed to do? So we've seen this. I mean, to their credit, they did it, but that's what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. What, the Redskins were down 24-0 a couple weeks ago, came back and won. The Colts were down 27-0, made a game of it. We saw teams that, you know, kind of stink this past weekend come out and win. The Texans came
but
out.
But not every won. Team does.
I know.
Right.
But I think more often than not, teams continue to play. I would be much more surprised if they finish 2-14 than if they go out and finish 7-9 or something like that, because I think that you have guys on your team because they have character, and you would expect them to continue to want to play.
Mm-hmm. We're off and running here on Ravens Unscripted, and coming up after the break, a little bit of role play. It's Homer and Hader.
Done me proud, and I'll never forget it. I thank you.
Money can buy a lot of things, and you can have success in a lot of different areas. But being crowned champion is for the rest of your life. And I'm glad he went home as a champion. Greatest moment in Ravens history, Super Bowl 35 for me.
Welcome back to Ravens Unscripted, brought to you by CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's time for Homer and Hader. How this works is I'm going to present some statements or questions to the guys, and Ryan, who's our Homer, and Garrett is our Hader, and the smartest guy in the room, Steve, is going to give his verdict on who had the better argument. So we're going to start with the Ravens rookie class, which is led, obviously, by Breshad Perriman and Max Williams, has not lived up to expectations. Our Homer, Ryan, kick us off.
Well, whose expectations are we talking about here? Are these your expectations? Are these Garrett's expectations? I think that the Ravens and fans have been spoiled by last year's rookie class. When you have C.J. Mosley come in and be a Pro Bowler in year one, yeah, that sets the bar high. But you have to think about what are the general expectations for a rookie class. I mean, Dennis Pitta didn't do anything as a rookie. Jimmy Smith hardly did anything as a rookie. Brandon Williams did nothing. all three of those guys have panned out quite well. So if your expectations are up here, then, yeah, they haven't lived up to them. But I think for average sake, yeah, you've had some guys like Nick Boyle stand out. You've had some rookie contributions.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other direction here. I mean, if you look at the long-term prospects of this rookie class, I think they're still high. But you have to – the notion that you can have guys that take a couple years to develop, the entire rookie class, really, that just doesn't work. I mean, look around the league. There's teams that are having huge production from the rookies. Look at what Stephon Diggs is doing in Minnesota. Look at what Amari Cooper is doing in Oakland. Let's just go back to last game. Rashad Perriman doesn't play. Max Williams plays 3 snaps. Carl Davis plays 10 snaps. Za'Darius Smith gets 1 tackle. Trey Walker doesn't play. Buck Allen gets 4 rushing yards, I believe. I mean, that's just the entire group. So if you look through that, I mean, Darren Waller's on injured reserve. Robert Myers is on the practice squad. You can keep going. I'm not saying all 8 guys are going to be Pro Bowlers, but you need to get more out of your rookie class than what the Ravens are getting this year.
You can't fault him for injuries,
Steve's
though.
Steve's got to jump in here with his verdict.
You're hating on these guys. They won! I'm going with Ryan, and I'll say this, right? This doesn't happen very often. Every single guy that was drafted made the team. Myers is on the practice squad, right? Mm-hmm. Perryman's not playing. And so they had 7 of the 8 guys play this past week. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Now, to your point, where's the stud?
It's more than just playing.
Right? No. But most times you don't get that many guys to play. Yeah. So the good side is you're getting guys that are getting time and having some contributions. The bad part is the guy that stands out is the 5th-round pick, Nick Boyle. So everyone always judges the draft on how is your first-round pick, right? Yep. And so on that part, I could lean towards him, but I'll go with you.
Picks 1-0 for the homer. Our next topic, I can't believe I'm even asking this, but I guess with the way this season has gone, the kickers are your MVPs of the season thus far. Let's start with the hater.
Yeah, well, I love Justin Tucker and Sam Cook. I think they should go to the Pro Bowl this year. But I think there should be a fine print in the MVP bylaws to say you can't have a kicker that's an MVP out of a team.
Boo.
Hey, I mean, you could go and you could say, well, where would the Ravens be without Justin Tucker? Okay, well, where would they be without Joe Flacco? Where would they be without Steve Smith? Where would they be without Marshall Yanda? They've had really nice seasons, but I think that what some of these other guys have done, if I'm giving out a midseason MVP award right now, it's going to Steve Smith, no question in my mind.
Well, it's the same.
You might want to bring this tape for Justin Tucker, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did Tucker win the MVP in 2013?
I think so.
Didn't we all vote for him?
I think so. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know who's all of us.
Right. Who won the 2 games this year?
Well, I mean, he doesn't have
Justin
an opportunity
Tucker
to kick
won,
that.
Of course, if the quarterback doesn't take the field, right, he doesn't have an opportunity to kick that. Justin Tucker won the game in Pittsburgh, and I think you can make a pretty strong argument that Sam Cook won the game against the Chargers. If he doesn't back them up to the 3-yard line, their second to last drive, when the Chargers were leading at the time and had the ball, if they're not starting from the 3 because of Sam Cook, and yeah, his guys contributed. They touched the ball down. That's how they contributed on that play.
Yeah.
Then I don't think the Ravens win that game against the Chargers. So, yeah, of course you're not going to win if Joe Flacco doesn't take the field. I mean, of course that's the case.
Well, but if he doesn't play at all.
These MVPs, though, it's who has contributed the most positively. And Joe's, Joe has also lost some games in Denver.
All right, Steve, you may have tipped your pitch here a little bit. Who are you going with?
Oh, really?
Does
that mean every quarterback around the league is their MVP?
But it's a really sad statement. We got to talk about the punter and kicker's MVPs. All you have to do is look at the record. Now, he's not going to be MVP at the end of the year because he's not even going to play half the season. But Steve Smith is the MVP so far.
Yeah.
Well, but he's not going to play for 2 for 8 games.
You said
MVP.
So far.
Yeah,
it's so far.
The fine print
I'll take that one.
We've had some role play coming up next. We need these guys to put a number next to their opinion. It's the rating game after this. Today's Watch to Win code word is progress. Tweet the code word to hashtag RavensUnscripted, and you'll be entered to win this week's prize. Welcome back to the Under Armour studio. You're watching Ravens Unscripted. Every few weeks, we like to play the rating game. The way it works is I present some statements or questions, storylines surrounding this team, and the guys will give me a number 1 through 10, obviously 1 being on the low end, 10 the high end, and we'll see who has an opinion maybe that the others don't agree with. Our first one is the confidence in the wide receiver core, obviously with the loss of Steve Smith Sr. Guys, 1 through 10. Let's see.
Oh, boy.
Steve's confident.
Okay. You know where we're starting here. -1.
I'm not
broke the rules, which I kind of
I'm not getting
like.
Invited back, am I?
Go ahead. Why -1?
Have you been watching these guys play? No confidence. That said, They got an easier schedule, so I'm not saying that they can't do anything. But this is, I mean, it's really unfortunate. You got your number one pick out, your best player out, a guy that you were expecting, even though he's a former seventh-round pick, to do something. This is, you're pulling guys off the garbage heap. I'm sorry. I mean, it's the worst receiving core in the NFL right now.
No, it's a decimated group in terms of injuries. And we're going to stick with the wide receiver core. So, guys, let me hear your number on the chances that Steve Smith Sr. has at being a Hall of Famer. Just a quick note on his numbers to give you an idea. Through 15 years, nearly 14,000 receiving yards and 84 career touchdowns. So let's see what you guys think. Wow, eights across the board.
There we go. I mean, we did not compare notes.
No. Derek,
the other thing, too, is if it was a question of whether I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, I would be a 10. I really think this is a guy that's deserving of a Hall of Fame nomination when his time comes up. He's number 8 all-time in overall combined yardage because it's not just receiving. He's top 10 all-time
special
in receiving
teams,
yards.
Yeah.
Right, special teams. He's a returner for so many years in Carolina. He's done it for such a long time. What the issue is going to be for Steve, and I think probably why all of us put eights there, is there's some really good receivers that are maybe a little bit ahead of him in the pecking order. Marvin Harrison, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens. How long does it take those guys
Reggie
to get
Wayne,
in? Reggie
right?
Wayne is in there.
Isaac Bruce.
Yeah. Isaac Bruce.
Yep.
How long
Ryan,
does it take those guys to get in?
Quickly, what do you think?
Well, I can't imagine a Hall of Fame without Steve Smith. That's what the Hall of Fame is built for. Guys who produce and guys who love football that much. He is a guy that should be in there. I agree. It's a question of wide receivers, but he's got the numbers to do it, and he's got the attitude.
If you asked me before he played here, I might have said 4. Watching him play, my number shot up.
And that effect will come through the voters as well. Yeah. A little fun here. Dancing with the Stars, if you will. Justin Tucker's dance moves after that game-winning field goal. Let's get a 1 through 10 from our judges.
This is just these dance moves or overall?
No, I'm specific to the game winner. Whoa.
Let's go with 100.
I
want to see Steve's dancing.
Let's go with 100 first because I would have gone to the negatives.
No, I just love
it.
Did
you slam him in the last segment?
No, I said he was an MVP. If it was a dancing MVP.
You're kissing up now.
If it was a dancing MVP, he'd be at the top of the list. No, I think he's just fun, man. I love this. How many other kickers are doing the Drake dance after hitting game-winning field goals? He's one of a kind in the NFL.
He's timely. That's what I love. He's timely.
Yeah.
He's incredibly talented at whatever he does. He really is. Just don't get hurt. Everybody remember Grammatica. Just don't get hurt.
Kickers starting to have some swagger. Let's keep it moving here. And if you didn't know, Ray Lewis stopped by the locker room before the game against San Diego and had some pretty powerful words. Take a listen.
It's about fighting our fight. 2005, I had one of the most tragic injuries ever. And I couldn't help my team. So the leader was took away, so there could be doubt. But if you still have a leader, and Joe Flacco, you got to rally around it. You got to get behind them, and it ain't about wins and losses. It's about loyalty. It's about understanding. I'm going to make the play, or I'm going to watch the play be made. It's simple. It's if I can tell my safety, you cover this because I'm going this time. It's a man on a man every time you play the game. It'll never change. It's about winning one-on-one battles. Fight through fight. It's our fight to fight. 1-6 doesn't define who you are. What defines who you are is what you do when you 1-6. What the man you will fight for. Just everything you got today, not because of the scoreboard, but because when this game ends, you have a brother to call for life.
All right, guys, 1 through 10, what'd you think of Ray's speech?
Oh,
a 6.
We got a hater in the house.
Ryan.
Upside down, just flip it upside down.
Why a 6?
I think that it was classic Ray. I love the emotion, but what is he saying? I
mean, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
What is he saying? You got to lead. You got to step up and take charge, Joe Flacco. And plus, if I'm Joe Flacco and Ray Lewis comes into my locker room and says, hey, Joe, you need to lead, I'm like, dude, I've been doing it for the past 8 weeks while you've been on a TV set. Like,
it was a little rough. Anoint him. Yeah. I'm taking off. The speech was great. I'm taking off because I did Google Goliath, and it came up, depending upon where you look, at 6'9", or like 9 or 9'9".
Don't let the details get away.
And the other thing is, I never knew that the injury with a torn hamstring in 2005 was like one of the worst
ones ever. The worst injuries of all time.
I covered that team, but I must have missed that.
I mean, the passion was great. I docked him a point because I didn't know what he was saying. You know, it's always kind of classic Ray Lewis, like you're saying, like, my fight is your fight. Your fight is our fight. It's great. It's entertaining. But where are you going with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think most importantly, some of the guys did admit that it did get them fired up. So whatever it takes at this point. Well, we've gotten plenty of opinion from these guys. Coming up next, it's time to hear from you. It's Raven Pulse after this.
260,000 children in Maryland are food insecure. That's over a quarter of a million children. I'm Brandon Williams, defensive tackle for your Baltimore Ravens, and I grew up not always knowing where my next meal is coming from. Right now, you can make an impact by donating at your local Giant store. Let's take care of our own. Together, we can feed the flock.
Welcome back to Ravens Unscripted. Each week we want to get feedback from you guys, so make sure to go to the Unscripted section on BaltimoreRavens.com. Every Monday we'll have a new poll question for you guys to chime in on. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Ravens. And the first poll question, which injury hurts the Ravens the most? And it was a tie. Steve Smith Sr. and Terrell Suggs, both at 44% with those torn Achilles. Steve, do you agree with that?
Well, there's a little bit remains to be seen on Steve Smith, but I'll go Steve Smith going back to my minus one in the receiving core. losing Suggs has been, you know, awful for this team, but now they have other good players on defense. They have no game changers on offense, particularly in the passing game, so when it comes to catching the football. So I think that's going to be even worse.
Let's quickly move to one Pro Bowler. Who should it be from this team? The fans spoke, and they feel like it's the dancer, Justin Tucker, 33% of the votes. Quickly, guys, who do you guys feel like should be the one Pro Bowler? Ryan, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Brandon Williams. I mean, best run defender in the NFL so far this year. Do I need to say any more? That guy's been dominant inside, just doesn't get a lot of the attention that an interior defensive lineman gets.
I'm going to love on the kicking game a little bit what you did before. Sam Cook's got to get a Pro Bowl at some point. Nice. You know, they're 2-6. It's hard to go defense. It's hard to go offense for a 2-6 team. I think he's been great.
I'll actually go Marshall Yanda. You talk about run blocking, interior. He doesn't get the loves in interior alignment, but he might be the best overall player on this team. I think Marshall Yanda's due for another trip.
That's an easy pick. He's gone, what, the past, like, 5 years?
Yeah. Exactly. And one more to the list.
Smart pick by Garrett. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Ravens Unscripted. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks to Steve Davis for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Make sure to tune in next week as we'll preview the Jacksonville Jaguars visiting M&T Bank Stadium. See you next time.